And welcome in, friends, to the latest episode of Cabali and Mac. Don't forget, you could become a sponsor, help support this illustrious, fast-growing podcast yourself today by reaching out to either Kaboom or I via social media. You know how to find us at the Chris Mac or at Mark Cabali. It doesn't matter. You could use X. You could use Instagram, Facebook. Yeah. Hell, you can even still use TikTok, Kaboom. I've never seen my wife and kids happier than when they woke up yesterday morning and saw that TikTok had been, I don't know, what do we call it? Unbanned, reinstated.
Making America great again there, Mac.
Is that what we're doing? And then immediately they all just went right into their phones. And I couldn't get anyone's attention for 20 minutes.
I have no tick or talk, but apparently the TikTok, they somehow show up on Reels, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, so people will reshare their TikToks into Instagram and other places. Yeah, that happens.
That's what this one, I guess it's TikTok, but I see it on Instagram or something. It's a sports-related one where they just put up like a college emblems of each player at a position.
Oh, yeah. And you got to guess what team it is. Yes. We both know Greg Finley, who works for KDKA AM. I'm on a group chat with him, and he will send me that stuff constantly. I'm like, I have no idea what team this is.
It's quarterback. You can find real quickly with the quarterback.
But that's why they always put a question mark for the quarterback. Like, he sent me one the other day. I was like, well, the only Penn State wide receivers I know in the league right now are Godwin and Dotson. And he's like, and Dotson plays four? I was like, oh, it's the Eagles then. Okay, never mind. But yeah, that's a good one. I like that one. Is that a reel or is that's just like...
It says TikTok, but I don't have TikTok, but it shows up. But I listened to so many of them. They have that same music. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
A little Zombie Nation action.
And all of a sudden I hear, playing over there. I'm getting tired of hearing that.
That's why I keep the volume off constantly on everything I do on my phone. Nobody needs to hear it.
We know why.
Why? Go ahead. Take your swings.
Okay.
It's Tiffy time. Anyway.
It's banned in Florida right now. Never mind.
What's banned in Florida?
I'm not saying a darn word. This is a family program.
Incognito mode is our friend, Kaboom. Lots to talk about today because it's a Monday. Raw's in Dallas tonight. I have a prediction on who will declare for the Rumble. We'll get to that. There will be much yeeting as Jey Uso is supposed to meet Gunther on Saturday night, and I think they're both supposed to be on the mic tonight. There's lots to talk about in regards to that. Plus, you'll have to work dual screens because the college football playoff championship is tonight. Some players maybe, future Steelers, that maybe we should keep an eye on in that game. There's running backs. There's the descendant of a former Steeler. There's guys of all kind of impact on both sides, especially Buckeyes. And we set the final four in the NFL yesterday and the day before as well. We're through the divisional round. Again, you want to sponsor, by all means, jump on board Cabali and Mac on YouTube. Go live a few times a week, preferably Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays as the schedule allows. We may both be pulling our hair out playing sixth grade math teacher. At least I will be. Over the next couple of days, which may screw with the schedule. But again, because they just announced, literally, Mark, minutes before the show started, the email and the text and the phone call from the West Jefferson Hills School District telling us that our kids will not be having in-person schooling tomorrow or Wednesday because of extreme cold. So that's fun.
I had to explain to the children. Mm-hmm. Back in my day, when I was walking uphill in the snow both ways, sure. You'd wake up at like 5 a.m. and turn it on in the Mon Valley, 98.3 WESA in Bruce Sokolic, to see if Mel Vernon was going to have
you
a
fire. Act like you lived in the sticks. You're in it's Mel Vernon is right on the edge of Allegheny County. Like that is a bordering community. You could have very easily turned on B94 or KDKA or whatever the deal was back in the day. A little John Dave Bubba Shelley action.
See, here's the thing. I lived in Westmoreland County. Allegheny County was up, you know, Ross Draver.
Yeah, area. 2 minutes away.
But majority of Belle Vernon's in the Fayette-Nam area, so.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of Fayette-Nam.
Huh. Belle Vernon is not in Fayette County.
Oh, yeah, it is, brother. A lot
Get
of
out
it.
Of here.
The majority of it.
Acting like you're from Fayette County and living in Fayette County are two different.
No, I'm a Westmoreland County guy, but.
WCCC.
I'm right across. See, that's why everywhere when I grew up, everything was Tri-County. Tri-County Muffler, Tri-County Cleaners, because you had across the river was Washington County. Westmoreland County is where I lived at, and Fayette-Nam was right down the road.
It still doesn't change the fact that you were getting Pittsburgh radio stations. You didn't have to turn on a dedicated Westmoreland County radio station.
Within 2 minutes, I can get in a car to go from Westmoreland to Fayette to Washington County. Two minutes.
Aren't you special? So the divisional round is done and over with. Saturday was the big surprise, Washington beating Detroit. Chiefs with a little bit of help from the Zebras, although they would have beat the Texans anyway, beat Houston. Philly beats the Rams, pulls away late. Saquon has another massive game, and we can get to Baltimore-Buffalo because that's probably the most easily discussed game of the four. But I'll work through each one. You tell me if you got a takeaway from each of these games. Texans-Chiefs just reinforced that the Chiefs, no matter whether they have a great regular season or not, are still always just – as long as Mahomes and Kelce are playing football together, and again, you can indict the referees if you want to. There was soft, unnecessary roughness, roughing the passer calls in that game. They're always going to be the leading contender in the AFC. This is 7 years in a row they've made the conference championship, Mark.
Yeah, I think they do have their toughest – task ahead of them right now with a red hot Buffalo team coming here. It's a little different than playing Houston, so they're going to have to play a lot better. They weren't able to run the ball very well. They weren't able to throw the ball other than to maybe Kelce. Their defense has just been solid, and who would have thought that from a couple years ago right now? But, I mean, this team is not going to get rattled. This team, for the most part, is not going to beat itself. It's a product of winning and winning multiple Super Bowls in a row, having a good head coach. And, you know, you just do the little things. Oh, wow, do I have to say it? What's the Tomlin quote?
Oh, do fundamental things. Damn it.
Consistently, I don't know. You know what we're talking about. I can't remember now.
Yeah.
I got it. Routine things.
Things routinely. Thank you.
That is the poster child for the Kansas City Chiefs right now. I think they do the routine things routinely. It's hard to beat.
You know what's – I've found myself repeating Tomlinisms more than ever the last year.
In the press conferences, when you ask them a question, it's like if somebody drops the word component, I'm like, what are you doing? I mean, the component is now his new favorite one.
Yeah.
It's component.
I've noticed, my wife actually noticed this, credit to her, because I started using the phrase, to be quite honest, like excessively, like way too much. She was like, where the hell did you pick that up? And then one day I was sitting here listening to Tomlin and she was in the kitchen and she heard it. She's like, that's where you got it. He just said to be quite honest, like 6 times in 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's funny. Like,
to be quite honest, that's probably where I got it from.
You know what? That's funny because my wife looked at me and said, why do you keep saying there's a fine line between squashing grapes and making wine?
That's got to be an episode. We got to rank our favorite Tomlinisms. That's a good off-season episode because that's what Steelers fans do right now. That's a good component
of this podcast.
You know, we will do the routine things routinely, Kaboom. Speaking of routine, the Washington Commanders just put up points. Their defense, there's lots of question marks about, and I totally understand that. But like Jaden Daniels has the chance to be the first rookie quarterback to go to a Super Bowl. He doesn't look particularly flustered at any point in time. As much as the Lions were blitzing him, he was handling it well. I saw an interesting story last night about his use of, this is going to sound crazy, but virtual reality. He's been using it since he got to LSU, since he left Arizona State. And he practices everything in the VR headset at 1 3/4 speed. So it's almost twice as fast on the headset when he practices it, so that when he gets to games, things have literally slowed down. So this guy, I we'll get to the Eagles in a second. Saquon is a singular talent who I can't believe how much he was wasted in New York and may be the reason the Eagles chug their way to the Super Bowl anyway. But Jaden Daniels is going to be the best player on that field on Sunday afternoon between both teams.
Oh, he needs to be. That's for sure. I mean, what's great about him is his midway through the season, he hit that wall and you were thinking, okay, is this the wall? Is he not really that good? I mean, he didn't play well against the Steelers in a couple games after that, but he sure has turned it around. I think a lot of that, not a lot, but a good significant portion has to do with coaching. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury is a pretty good offensive coordinator. I don't know about head coach, but he's a good offensive coordinator. They're a well-coached team, and you can see that from top to bottom, and I think that helps them tremendously. They don't have a ton of talent. I mean, Terry McLaurin, they all of a sudden they turned him into a star. Last year, he was just average. I mean, let's call it what it was. He was an average wide receiver, maybe a little bit above average last year. And all of a sudden now he's a superstar. Zach Ertz is all of a sudden going to the fountain of youth.
Zach Ertz had been left for dead after leaving Philly.
I mean, you got the Ecklers and the Robinson, or what's his name?
DeMarcus Robinson.
Yeah. They're a well-coached team, and you can't really count them out whatsoever. And they got a good offensive line, although I believe Cosme is now hurt. That kid moving forward here. But Detroit, man, you think you have a bad in Pittsburgh? Could you imagine what's being said in Detroit right now? I don't know if they're sitting there saying, well, but our defense was so hurt. I don't think that
I mean, what, 16 or 17 guys on IR in total? Like, it's not a good excuse, but it's a reason, right? It's part of the reason. Yeah, if Aiden Hutchinson is healthy, if that one guy is healthy, that might change things.
Well, of course that changes things, but you can – I don't think that's something that the Detroit fans are looking at right now after a 15-win season. They lost to the Commanders at home.
But they're so starved for any level of success up there. And look, it's been a barren desert wasteland of football success there for the last 30 years. I think they'll get over pretty quickly and turn the page to next year. I'm curious to see how much of it. Look, both coordinators are going to be gone, right? Like Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn are going to move on and get gigs somewhere else, most likely by the end of this week. So does Campbell struggle at all to keep both sides of the ball going? Does he start to catch more flack for not playing more responsibly, for letting his OC dial up a wide receiver end-around pass in a big moment when they're down 10? In a playoff game, like that's how they've gotten to where they've gotten, is playing that balls to the wall style. But at a certain point, that failing at those things then levels the playing field and allows a team like Washington to upset you at home in the playoffs. You don't need to do that stuff all the time anymore, but he's just made that. That's the feather in his cap. That's the stamp on the game for him, is we're going to play wild and crazy and balls to the wall all the time.
Yeah. I mean, they had what? What they scored? 21 points? Is that what it was? Yeah.
27, right?
I don't know. Whatever it is, it should have been more than that. You got an offense that is absolutely loaded, you know, from Goff to Gibbs, Ross, Amon-Ra St. Brown, to Jamo, to Laporta, the best offensive line in the league, a best offensive coordinator in the league. You got to put up more than 27 points against Washington. So they knew that going in, and even if their defense was banged up, they probably should have scored and probably should have won that game. So I of course they're in a better shape than the Steelers, I'm not saying that, but they're not feeling very good about themselves right now in Detroit. I can guarantee that.
31, by the way, they ended up scoring. We were both off, but still, they gave up 45 to Washington. So I mentioned Saquon. He is a singular talent. If Jaden Daniels isn't the best player on the field on Sunday in the NFC Championship game, then Saquon will, and will fill that vacuum pretty quickly. The year he's having is ridiculous. And I don't know how Mara doesn't walk into Joe Shane's office and fire him yesterday for allowing this guy halfway through the season. Like, you go back and, you know, Hard Knocks was kind of, parts of it were surprising or shocking at the time I watched them the first time around. Go back and watch those now, and it's even more galling. Like, it's just, what in the hell was Joe Shane thinking?
I see. I almost disagree with you right there. I think it makes Mara look worse. You are the owner. If you don't want Saquon Barkley to go somewhere, guess what? Say, hey, GM, Barkley's not going anywhere. Sign his ass, right? I mean,
but you also hire people to do a job. You don't want to be Jerry Jones and constantly doing the job for them.
Well, you got the owner telling him he'd hate to see Saquon leave and go to Philly. You got his 13-year-old kid to tell him that he should have drafted Jaden Daniels. Yeah, it wasn't it's something that is going to be put in his obituary. What's his name? Jim Shane? I don't even know his
Joe
name.
Shane.
Joe yeah. Shane.
Yeah.
He was once on Hard Knocks and made himself look like a fool.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Really loves
him. Man. I mean, honestly, okay, you got say-so in what goes on the air. Say cut, sign his rear end. Okay, you can start it up again. You know, start the cameras up again. I mean, I think that makes him look terrible.
Both of them end up walking away from it looking bad, but Shane looks worse. He's the GM. Like, it's his job to put together the team. It's the owner's job to just sit there and write the checks and stay out of the way. You're right, though, that Mara at a point should have been like, Joe, yeah, no, we're not letting Saquon walk. And all for Daniel Jones. All because it was supposed to be Daniel Jones' year. Huh. Anyway, we just ended up talking about the Giants more than we ended up talking about the Eagles, who, if that game is played indoors, I don't know if – I'm not saying the Rams end up winning, but, like, the Rams did not look at all comfortable once the weather turned in that thing. They were not prepared for that. Stafford's dropping the football. Nacua can't run routes. I know they both played on the same surface, but – once the weather really turned late third quarter, fourth quarter, that thing was done. There was no way the Rams were coming back.
I mean, you look at Stafford played at Georgia. I doubt if there was any snow or bad weather ever there. Went to L.A. and went to Detroit and played in the dome. Yeah,
probably played what, four games a year against Chicago and Green Bay, and two games a year, right? One each on the road in Chicago and Green Bay, and who knows if it was necessarily in bad weather or not.
Hey, you know what, though? I wouldn't quite write off Washington quite yet in this championship game because who knows if Jalen Hurts going to play. You know what that means.
Kenny Pickett.
Okay, what do? You absolutely load up the box. You prevent Saquon Barkley, if you can, from running the ball and say, Kenny Pickett, you go beat us. And are you sure that he can?
No.
That's what I would do if Jalen Hurts doesn't play.
Although when Pickett jumped in midstream for Hurts – at the end of the season, he didn't look terrible other than that one play that keeps getting turned into a meme.
He lost to the Commanders.
He did lose. Well, he left that game early too. Did he not? Didn't he get hurt in that one? And he's still fighting a rib injury, I think it is. Hurts will end up playing. They're not going to go into that game without Hurts. And as long as Hurts is back there taking snaps, whether he's playing well or not, it's enough of a concern that you can't totally sell out to stop Saquon, because if you do that, then you end up getting absolutely carved up like the Steelers did against the Eagles when they sold out to try and slow down Saquon. So
how about those Baltimore Ravens though?
Man. Oh my God. Look, it's okay to say that the best players were not the best at the most important time of the year. This has been for 12 hours now. People have been yelling and screaming at each other. I turned on ESPN for a couple minutes this morning. They're literally yelling at each other about Lamar Jackson. He had an MVP caliber season. Nobody's arguing that. He is a great quarterback. Nobody's arguing that. Nobody's saying that at all. Nobody's even saying that he's not going to someday win a Super Bowl, because I think he will someday. He's at a very similar point in his career right now to where Peyton Manning was at this point in his career, where he couldn't get over the hump. He kept running into other great quarterbacks. In Manning's case, it was just one great quarterback for the most part. In Brady, got beat by Ben one year, and his idiot kicker. And so, you know, Manning couldn't get over the hump. He got over it eventually. Lamar's going to get over the hump as well. But it's okay to say that Lamar screwed up in the one moment, Mark Andrews as well, where you couldn't have them screw up.
Yeah. Can't turn the ball over. He did it twice. I mean, I think he looked a little overwhelmed. I think he looked like playoff Lamar early. I give him credit for rebounding after that.
Sure.
Playing well, but the fumble was tough. That's him trying to make a play. But you can't fumble the ball right there. And that final drive was spectacular. The touchdown was an amazing throw. And even the throw on the two-point conversion was right on the money. But it's just – at that time, I just don't think that – obviously, it was enough to win the game. And I don't know who you blame. I guess – I don't think either quarterback, him or Josh Allen – had an over-the-top tremendous game. It was just, you know what it was? It was the Mike Tomlin effect, man. Play defense, don't turn the ball over, and run the ball. That's basically what happened in that game. And the best team that did that won the game, I think.
So that brings me around to a common theme from all four of these teams. All four of these teams are top 10 in what they call EPA per play, expected points per play. So they're efficient offenses, right? They don't turn the ball over a ton. They've got explosiveness. When we talk Kansas City, Buffalo, Washington, Philly, all four offenses are good. And that means in the last 7 years, the 28 teams to make the conference championship games, 26 of them had a top 10 offense. You have to have an offense that can score points and move the ball. Otherwise, you're not going to get to this point. The Steelers haven't been back to a conference championship game since Ben, AB, and Lev Bell. And that's, you can say it's all about the quarterback. In large part, it is, right? Look at the quarterbacks we're going to have playing on Sunday night. Mahomes, Allen, and to a lesser extent, Hurts and Daniels on the other side. It is about the quarterbacks, but your entire offense has to have some explosiveness and the ability to possess the football against not just crappy defenses, but against all defenses. You have to be a top 10 offense in this league if you want to compete for a championship. And I don't know the way they've built this thing over the last 3 or 4 years. I don't know if Mike Tomlin is, if he's still ready to embrace that part of it yet. Like, get your arms around the fact, Mike, that your offense needs to be not just better, but like a whole hell of a lot better.
But then you look at a team like Kansas City, who is winning with defense. I mean, it's not their offense have been out of this world, right? You look at a team like Philadelphia, good defense. You look at a team like the Bills, and they've played good defense as well. I mean, so...
I agree. You have to have a good defense. I'm not saying you can have a total trash defense, be bottom quarter of the league in defense and compete for a championship. But you've got to at least be, it used to be play really good defense and be timely on offense, right? Even as recently as what, like 10, 15 years ago. Now I would argue it's flipped. Be really good on offense and you just have to be timely on defense. Look at the sacks, for instance, that Kansas City was putting up on Stroud and the Texans. Spagnuolo knew exactly when to dial it up on Stroud and the Texans, and they were timely with the plays that they made on defense, when they rushed the passer, when they sent a blitzer. That's what it comes down to. And so it feels like the Steelers were still the reverse of that this year, where it was, hey, play solid defense until it melted down on the final month of the year, and just be timely on offense. Russ is going to hit a moon ball every once in a while or draw a DPI. And the script is flipped, I think we can say safely say now over the last half decade, to where, no, you have to consistently be able to produce on offense. The timeliness and the splash, as Mike Tomlin would say, to go back to another Tomlinism, the splash has to come from the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that. I mean, the facts show it out, but I don't think this divisional round really proved that. I actually think it was more the other way around. If you just look at a small sample size and look at these four games over this past week, I think it was more defense and timely offense. Where
you sound like a statistician, small sample size. Listen to you. You've been looking at fan graphs for Pirates free agent signings.
I was just trying to Google what EPA meant, to be honest.
That's our esteemed ball reporter, Mark Cabal, you know, Pat McAfee.
You know what?
EPA on the air.
The great Craig Wolfley once said, "I don't believe in analytics. I believe in eyelytics."
What the hell does that even mean?
It means I look and what I see. I don't need to see something.
Eyelytics.
Something on a paper to tell me somebody that stinks or something's not working.
I don't know. Maybe it's because I watched the 80s Jets, the Gastineau 30 for 30 this weekend, the New York
Jets.
Maybe it's because I watched that, but like I have this, maybe it's because, again, look at how many instances we saw quarterbacks absolutely bludgeoned this weekend. And I don't know. I felt a renewed sense of belief in timely pass rush and consistent offense, timely pass rush. Consistent offense, timely pass rush. I don't know. Maybe.
Why isn't Steve Spagnuolo getting any head coaching looks?
That's a great question. He had those few years where he was absolutely with the Giants, right? Yeah. Where they were bad. I think he's a good example of a great coordinator, but not a good head coach. Like those guys are all over. Kingsbury. You brought up Kingsbury earlier. He might be a perfect example of that. Which, by the way, the Steelers should have taken a good long hard look at him a year ago. Multiple people brought that up, and it should have been explored. Instead, they bring in FedEx.
Look at Dan Quinn. He was a guy that was only supposed to be a coordinator too, failed at head coaching, and he looks like a pretty doggone good head coach right now.
Yeah, he's got the quarterback. So, I mean, I think Quinn. Maybe we could argue whether he's great head coach or just very good with a good set of offensive talent right now and a great coordinator leading his offense.
He's a guy that can delegate power.
Right. Which comes back around to our guy, Mike T. Right. Like, would Mike T have ever seriously entertained the idea of bringing in Cliff Kingsbury? I don't think so.
I know those two have some sort of a relationship. To what degree, I'm not quite sure. I know it had to be a decade ago. I saw Kingsbury at the Steelers facility.
Really?
Watching practice. So he has some sort of relationship. I'm not quite sure.
Why wouldn't they have jumped on that? That would have been perfect. You're unsure about your quarterback position. Why not bring in maybe the best, if not one of the two or three best offensive coordinators in the game?
I don't. Maybe it goes both ways. Maybe he didn't want to come here.
Maybe not. But like, he's shown Mike Tomlin the ability to bring in high level assistants on the defensive side, Brian Flores, and we talked about Saleh a lot last week. Like, that's something he's okay with. Maybe because that's his side of the ball and his specialty.
Are we going to give him credit for Flores though, or is he just trying to do his buddy a favor?
Well, for whatever reason he did it, he was still okay doing it, right? So I give him credit for at least bringing in a big name assistant, even if Flores was just kind of there and it wasn't necessarily giving him the reins to the defense completely or anything.
Nobody else would touch him, and he was a solid coach and a solid head coach and a solid coordinator,
right?
Solid position coach. I mean, he probably also realized he wasn't going to be there very long either.
Exactly. So it was perfect for both sides. This would be another point where we would pause and we would just for a second tell you about another wonderful sponsor. If you'd like to be one of those wonderful sponsors, again, reach out to us here on Kaboli and Mac. And there are a couple of different lists I've noticed, Mark, of the biggest prospects in tonight's national championship game, because Notre Dame plays Ohio State, and most of them are coming from the Ohio State side of the ball. But there are a few on the Notre Dame side that I think might be worth talking about, and I think it's just worth running through one of these top 10 lists just to talk about whether we see them as a possible future Steeler or not. Like, would they fit? Would they be around maybe in the draft? Would it make sense? So I'm going to run through some names. You tell me, future Steeler or not future Steeler. You ready?
All right.
We're going to start with, I just got this list from Fox Sports. They ranked the top 10 draft ready prospects in tonight's national championship game. Number one, edge rusher from Ohio State, JT Tuimoloau. I butchered his name. Tuimoloau. JTT, they call him. The Steelers don't need another edge rusher. They're good there. Obviously, Watt, Highsmith, Herbig. But I don't know. They went out and made a trade at the deadline for another guy on the edge. Maybe.
Where are these guys? Where is he being looked at this time?
JTT, mid to late first round.
No.
You think they go offensive?
The last thing you need is a fourth edge rusher who's going to play 15 snaps, right?
Okay, I'm fine with that. I'm just trying to gauge your interest level here, Omar.
All right, I'm just looking here, man.
Okay,
you're dumping this on me, and I'm just trying to figure out where the prospects are.
Okay, number two on this list, I like this one a lot. Emeka Egbuka from Ohio State, the wide receiver. Like, if that guy is around in the teens, the Steelers need to jump on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely him. He would be in the conversation here. I mean, you know how much Tomlin and the Steelers like to go to Ohio State and pluck people, so it's only a three-hour drive, so I'm quite sure that they're well aware of him in person. Now, they probably have had people at every single Ohio State game over the past 5 years. So, yes, absolutely. I know a lot of people don't think that receiver should be number one. Some people think that defensive line should be number one. Mm-hmm. Corner should be number one. To me, I think wide receiver should be number one, even though the two best teams in the AFC yesterday, Baltimore and Buffalo, aren't really have good
act at wide receiver.
So, yeah, I would say absolutely. Yeah, he would be on the list. He would be on my list.
He'd be at the top of my list. Yeah. And if he's available, like I said, in the middle of the first round, where would they be drafting now? I have to look up.
I believe 21.
Is it that late?
Dear God. Always in the 20s, man.
21. Yeah. Jeez. Okay. So, yeah, I don't know if Egbuka gets to 21.
That's three straight years of 20, right? They moved up from like 20. No, four straight years, right? The picket year was 20. They moved up to get Broderick from 20 to whatever. Last year was.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Fortuna was in the 20. Early.
It's yeah. Ugh. Never any like game-changing talent available there on a consistent basis. All right. Number three on this list. We both agree that Egbuka would be a great move. Tyleek Williams, the interior defensive lineman from Ohio State. Big guy, 6'3", 327. Your defensive line is not getting any younger as Cam Hayward continues to age. And Keanu Benton is good but not great. Tyleek Williams, if he's available, would be very enticing there.
I think that's a luxury pick in the first round if you're going defensive line. I think you roll with Cam Hayward. I think you move Benton from nose to end, dump Ogunjobi, go find yourself a nose tackle who can play 30% of the time. Why waste a first-round pick on a defensive lineman?
What if he's there in the second? I know that's getting late for him, probably around, you know, 50 or wherever.
I'd say probably not. I would say that, I mean, when was the last time they actually took a defensive lineman early to it?
Yeah, probably.
Hargrave was second and third, I guess.
What round was Benton? Was he fourth?
They might have moved up. They moved up. Was that late second or was that in the third? Yeah, so I think that's where you go there. That's where you, where the most value would be. I don't think you go there quite yet.
All right, we're rolling through the top 10 prospects in tonight's national championship game and whether any of them could be future Steelers or not. We've rolled out JTT of Ohio State, JT Tuimoloau. Just they don't need any more edge rushers. Emeka Egbuka, great choice if he's there at 20. Tyleek Williams. Kabali says no. I say if he's there in the second round, you take a swing. Jack Sawyer, defensive end, Ohio State. Again, they don't need.
I would love to have him, though.
But where are you going to put him?
I don't know, but I just love to have him as a football player. All right. I mean, where is he going to go? I mean, I don't know if he's going to be day two or day three, right?
Day two, I would think. He's not a first rounder. Day middle of day two. Maybe late day two, like third round. Let's say he's a third rounder. Yeah. But, I mean, he's 6'5", 260, big dude, has some speed, like, you know, fights people who want to plant the flag on his field, that kind of guy. Heart and hustle guy, right?
Yeah, I would love to have him, but I just –
glue guy, but you just don't have anywhere to put him on the field.
If he's a third day pick, if he falls there somehow – and who knows? I mean, he could have a terrible combine and run a 5.2 and all of a sudden come up with medical issues. Then he could fall. Then I would love to have that type of guy on there. Just like, who was the guy last year from Iowa? Jack Campbell.
Oh, yeah, I love the idea.
Campbell. That guy is just like a meathead. That's the type you would love to have on your roster.
Although I'm not complaining about Peyton Wilson. Peyton Wilson has been.
He's not a meathead, though. I want meathead. He's not.
Why does he have to be a meathead? You just want somebody to bang their head off of brick walls? Is that what you're looking for?
You don't have enough of that. I don't think there's enough of that in the law.
I think Peyton Wilson's got – he and Herbig have enough meathead that they bring that in doses, I think.
I don't know. Peyton Wilson, I don't think you can be a meathead and a guy who is as religious as him. So I don't think those things mix.
All right. How about running backs? Quinshon Judkins is ranked fifth on this list. And who's the other? Travion Henderson is ranked eighth. Both of them are, I mean, Henderson's definitely a late day two, early day three pick. Judkins, probably day two, second or third round. I don't know. Like, it all depends on. Do you think they have legitimate interest in bringing Najee back at a reduced rate if he hits the market and there isn't the overwhelming interest that maybe he thinks there will be?
Yeah, I think it has to be, you know, 1 year, $3 million type of thing. And I don't think
he's not doing that.
Yeah, first of all, I think he's going to get more money out there. I mean, people are going to look at a guy who's, what, 27, 4,000-yard rushing seasons, even though it's, what's he have, 5 career 100-yard games and averages 58 yards per game. And yeah. Everyone will like that guy. I mean, if he goes to Vegas or whatever, somebody's going to pay him decent money. His market value's at 9.5, I think.
Yeah, nobody's given him 9.5 per year for multiple years. I can't imagine that happening. But so that brings us back to it's got to be a timeshare between Warren and whoever. Yeah. And I think a bigger back like a Henderson, if you could get a Travion Henderson in the fourth round, what was Kyren Williams this year for the Rams? A fifth rounder, I think. You get a Travion Henderson in the fourth round and you got a little thunder and lightning compliment in the backfield. I wouldn't mind that at all.
The tough thing about running backs is, yes, you can find them any round, but you have to go through about 15 or 20 of them that are just total crap before you find that diamond in the rough. We tend to forget that. We're like, this guy was a fourth rounder. This guy was undrafted. Yeah, but there was like 14 guys drafted ahead of him, which is absolutely dog crap as well. So it's not as easy as it might seem. So even if you do pick one, doesn't really mean he's going to be great, but they do have to add. I mean, I'm talking about late rounders.
Yeah.
If you're going second round was probably what it used to be first rounders. So yeah, I would definitely have to entertain a running back second or third round, because first of all, it's a deep class, so maybe you can reach into the third or fourth, and you can't first of all rely on Jaylen Warren. Plus, you're going to need more help there as well. I mean, whoever they have on the roster right now, I don't even know who they have. They brought some of the guys back for future deals. Oh,
futures contracts. Those don't count. It's Warren and whoever else at this
point. Cordero.
Yeah. And even that, if they were to go third round running back, Judkins may be the perfect pick if he's still there. Like, that's a guy who I think probably, I wouldn't say gets the bulk of the carries over Warren, but at the very least comes out of the gate a 50-50 split. He's just, I've liked him since he was down at Ole Miss. There's one offensive lineman on this list of the top 10 prospects in the national championship game. Is that something you think the Steelers, I don't think they need to, I know some people are upset with the offensive line play down the stretch. I don't think they need to go out, even Dan Moore probably leaving in free agency, and race to find an offensive lineman on, certainly not in the first round, but in either of the first two rounds.
You got four young guys or high round picks. Sam Mallow, I think, still will be back. Plus, they got a lot of role players after that. Spencer Anderson, okay, maybe he's not great, but he's a good guy to fill in. I mean, Ryan McCollum, we forgot about him. He filled in for Zach Frazier pretty decently for a couple of games there as well. So they got some mid-level depth behind him. I think at this point, the offensive line has pretty much been played out of where they wanted to go. Now let's go address some other issues. And, you know, we talk about the defensive line, and some people want to pick that. It's probably because of Andy White and what they did in Philadelphia for all those years. You know, you had that, and you had.
Well, it's also because it's the foundation of a rebuild on offense. And they knew, they had to know as early as 2019 that they were going to have to rebuild that offensive line from what they had when it was Villanueva, DeCastro, Ramon, Pouncey, and whoever was at right tackle. Gilbert left, and then they rotated through a couple guys at that spot. But they knew that offensive line wasn't getting any younger, and then they putzed around for 4 or 5 years without really truly diving in to try and rebuild it, and that's why they've been where they've been for the last couple of years.
Yeah, that offensive line struggled from what? Probably 9, 10, 11, 12. Then all of a sudden they hammered it with the DeCastro, Pouncey, Mike Adams, got lucky with Villanueva.
I mean, they won a Super Bowl with a average offensive line.
Average.
Yeah, I know. I'm being somewhat friendly.
I think Roethlisberger got sacked 55 times that year. That was the year with, you know, Darnell Stapleton, Trey Essex,
right,
Axon. But if you talk to any of those guys, they tend to blame more of those sacks on the quarterback than themselves.
The quarterback took his time sometimes too, but he could do that back then when he was still able to run around. Okay, three more names I want to throw at you from this list, the last three names, because they're all in the defensive secondary. You've got Denzel Burke, the corner from Ohio State. You've got the safety from Notre Dame, Xavier Watts, free safety, and Jordan Clark, Ryan's kid, another corner, who are all listed on this top 10 draft prospects in tonight's national championship game. What's the state of the secondary now for the Steelers? Like, I feel okay about Porter. I know people hate the number of penalties, but that's just the way he plays. I liked Deshaun Elliott more often than not. The other corner, Dante Jackson, was pretty good when he was healthy. You know, a couple picks. Minka was underwhelming for what I think our expectations are of him. I don't know. Beanie is, we talked about him the other day. He's, you know, his ceiling is Mike Hilton. I don't know how important it is that they go out. And I know they need to add to the secondary. I just don't know how important it is that they prioritize it on the first 2 days of the draft.
Well, Jackson's a free agent, I believe, right?
Okay.
They have to either bring him back or not. I mean, they could bring him back at reduced, right? But right now you have to look at Corey Trice is going to be that guy right now that they at least initially think is going to take over that spot. I mean, I don't know how confident you can be in a guy that's only played a handful of snaps in his career and has had a couple major injuries over the past 3 or 4 years going back to college. But with him and Porter, I think the safety stays status quo. I think Elliott's back. I think Fitzpatrick's back. I think you need some depth there just to cover your rear end with Trice.
Third day picks then, basically, is what we're talking.
I mean, I don't know what Jackson would want to do, and I don't know how much he would want to come back or how much he would get play in the free agency market, but I would welcome him back at maybe a secondary role, a more reduced role. I would assume Cam Sutton's not coming back.
Hopefully not.
It leaves you to that point where you still probably need a nickel. They've been struggling trying to replace Mike Hillen for what now, 6-7 years?
Yeah.
Really haven't been able to find him. And I don't know if Beanie Bishop fits that role of exactly what you want to be, three down type of guy as a potential nickel guy. I don't know if you just go out and draft a nickel, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I like Beanie's nose for the ball and all that. That's great. But like you said, he's Mike Hilton 2.0. And I don't know. Like, that's not enough to be like a consistent starter at nickel, I don't think.
There's a reason why Cam Sutton was kept getting playing time at the end of the year, even though when he was screwing up. Because they must not have trusted or believed in Beanie Bishop, right? Why else would you play him?
Who do you think wins tonight, Notre Dame, Ohio State?
Well, probably Ohio State. I mean, can they both lose?
I don't think that's allowed. I'll be honest. I kind of root for – I don't like that they beat my team, Penn State, obviously. But, like, I kind of root for Marcus Freeman. Like, he seems like a good dude. And maybe he's not. I don't know. I'm just judging by what I see in the public realm. But, like, Marcus Freeman seems like a guy I could get behind and root for.
What time's that game start?
Late, probably. 8-something.
So I can, like, watch all of Raw and still hit the second half then, huh?
Yeah, it's a college game. It won't be over till 2 a.m. I will watch football first and then stay up late and watch Raw later. Speaking of which, they're in Dallas tonight. As mentioned earlier, there will be yeeting. Jay is supposed to get on the mic, Jay Uso, before he faces Gunther Saturday night in San Antonio. The New Day supposed to be there tonight and supposed to actually like wrestle, like be in a match rather than just continuing one of the greatest heel turns in wrestling history.
I saw him wrestle here in Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago. Kofi wrestled.
But no Xavier?
He was there. He was causing trouble. Big one tonight, though, is Scottish psychopath Drew McIntyre versus Seth
Rollins. Yeah. So here's my prediction. Both of those guys have already declared for the Rumble, right? Yep. Reigns, Cena, Punk, and those two all declared for the Rumble. I think you're going to see Sammy jump in tonight and declare for the Rumble. It's a little bit, it's not the one of the main event guys, but Sammy's been on that second tier for a while now. Sami Zayn's going to declare for the Rumble. It's going to happen.
The
honorary Oos.
I'm not a big Sami Zayn fan. Although, one of the few people that beat Gunther was Sami Uso. Sami Zayn.
True.
I don't know what they see in Sami. I guess I don't like this gimmick. I don't like this character he plays. I don't know. I'm just trying to think who could possibly declare tonight Raw-wise.
I think we'll get a lot of female action.
Yeah, tonight. There's only been like one or two there so far.
I didn't get to watch a lot of SmackDown. I only watched a few minutes of it. Did I miss anything fantastic? Esteemed WWE.com writer Mark Cavalli?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, first of all, Solo got booed out of the building. Couldn't even raise the mic. He left.
But he got the Dom treatment.
The great Samoan werewolf took over, though. So.
Mm. You're real big on Jacob Fatu.
Well, he's a star. He's a star in the making. I just hope they don't wait to push him as much as he could. I mean, he's proven he can do absolutely everything. On the mic, he can wrestle. He can.
What's it hurt, though, to drag it out a little bit longer and build the behind-the-scenes tension between him and Solo? What's it hurt to build that up?
Because you get tired of just seeing him playing second fiddle.
Let's keep him
out there.
Give it time, Mark. Give it time. Let it play out.
That's true.
Pull the taffy.
Gimmick, man. That's his gimmick. He lets things slow burn. Sometimes
exactly.
Slow.
Almost to the point where you're like, am I out on this? And then bang, that's when they hit you with it. Like, just watch the Cody Rhodes slow burn towards heeldom, if that's a word, that's going to take place over the next year and a half or two. Like, it's going to be a real slow burn, but it's going
to
happen.
He means so much to the company beside wrestling. You know, he's like the face of the company right now, and you don't want bad guy doing that.
No, but he'll be able. I said this months ago when I was talking to somebody about it. Like, he'll be able to go sort of stone coldish when he turns heel, in that he'll, you know, he's not going to chug beer in the middle of the ring, but like, he's going to go, you know, the hair won't get bleached anymore. He'll be pissed off about being the company man for so many years and doing everything they wanted him to do. And then at some point, it's going to backfire on him and he's going to snap. And he's not necessarily going to come after the fans. He's not going to do that. But he's going to come after the company. That's what's going to happen, at least storyline-wise. And that's how Cody turns heel effectively. Like I said, it's a slow burn. It's a long way off.
Well, but you keep pushing a guy like Cody Rhodes, it turns into like Roman Reigns from a couple of years ago.
Right. People will get tired of it. Yeah, like, and that's how you
Roman again in the main event. Ugh, now he's lovable. Everybody loves Roman Reigns, right?
Exactly. Because you got to pay the price at some point. You got to pay the piper. You can't have a 1,400 day reign as champion and not pay the price at some point.
My name is Paul Heyman.
That's the other thing we're going to get during WrestleMania season. Between the Rumble and WrestleMania is at some point, Heyman's going to have to give Punk his favor that he owes him. And
loses in Rumble, wants to be in the main event, and Roman's in the main event, so he's going to make him.
He's going to let Punk take Roman's spot?
He's going to talk Roman into facing Punk, and whoever wins will be the main event in WrestleMania.
It's not a bad look either. You're not bad at this. All this WWE writing, you've really adapted to the role. You mentioned Ludwig Kaiser the other day. I was like, man, what if Kaiser won the Rumble then turned on Gunther?
You know who Ludwig Kaiser's girlfriend is in
Tiffy
real life?
Time. Mm-hmm.
You're jealous.
Totally. Absolutely. I've definitely considered walking around like this and talking like this, just to see if it works for Tiffy.
They did some kind of vignette or so of Charlotte Flair the other day. I don't know.
Yeah, she's definitely back. I don't know if it's your stereotypical in the Rumble back, but she's definitely back in the next.
I don't know if I agree with the telegraph and her coming back.
What are you telegraphing? Everybody knows it's happening.
Like, oh my God, it's Charlotte Flair.
Yeah. Maybe it happens before the Rumble. Maybe it happens Saturday night's main event.
You think maybe she could be a quarterback for the Steelers?
I mean, they're going to need one. That's the other thing too. Like that line of thinking before we go. And by all means, thank you for joining us today on Kabali and Mac. We're going to wrap it up here in just a second. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube, Kabali and Mac on YouTube. Subscribe there if you prefer the audio-only version because you don't want to see these beautiful faces. We're on iTunes and Spotify as well. Kabali covering up the camera. But by all means, subscribe, download, stay with us. We'll be doing this a few times a week. But the one last thing I wanted to bring up, before we go, that line of thinking that you threw out there Wednesday or Friday of last week about Fields sort of giving the Steelers an ultimatum, saying, hey, I'm only coming back if I'm the man. I've seen that more and more around the social media scape, if you want to call it that. More and more people are mentioning that over the last 4 or 5 days. And I honestly believe, to be quite honest, to use a Tomlinism again, that's the only way he's coming back. But they have to. Like, they can't go into the offseason without a quarterback. They have to secure somebody before things get crazy.
Absolutely. You have Mitch Trubisky again, right?
Jesus.
You have to address it in the first day, if not the second day of free agency. You got to know who your starting quarterback is. And even if you go and draft one, I mean, you know how it is. You draft a guy and you're like learn behind it, this guy. And if he turns out to be a star quarterback, who cares? You know, then you got Sam Darnold and J.J. McCarthy type of issue right there. So I think that will be – another thing is, man, people like to jump on – at least 3 months ago, I said the Steelers, they either have to sign George Pickens or trade him this offseason.
Yeah. And
they're scoffing at me. Now it's like everybody's saying it.
Huh. Well, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to go into a lame duck year with George Pickens?
Everybody's
a disaster.
Everybody's listening to me.
Yeah, it's kind of like everybody's finally paying attention to old Kaboom.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Maybe we could trade you to the Bears podcast. Well, you have a no trade clause here or what?
Yeah. Yeah, my name's at the top of the screen.
Oh, yeah, but it's second.
Yeah, I did that for you. I know your ego's fragile.
I don't have an ego.
All right, man. I'm going to get out of here. You go do the same. We'll do it again later in the week around our schedules and teaching sixth grade math.
Yeah, maybe Art Rooney talks this week, but probably more likely next week. We'll probably hear some stuff at some point this week, I think, with coaching staff.
We got to get you out to the combine too, Kaboom. When's that?
The end of February. End of February.
We got to get you out there.
I've been there probably 10 straight years. I drive to Indianapolis like you drive to Home Depot or Johnny.
I was going to say, it's Indy. It's Indy. You just crash on McAfee's couch and call it a day.
I hate that drive.
You'll be okay. All right. Watch the national championship game tonight. Watch Raw. We'll talk about all that stuff and whatever else happens in Steelers land, because there's still plenty to talk about before the offseason officially hits, free agency March 12th, all that kind of fun stuff. Kaboom, have a wonderful Monday.
All right,
we'll see you.
Go shovel.